Good morning again. Hey, that was good. Hey, super special treat for you guys today. For the first time in 31 years of our church being in existence, we have some superheroes here this morning. And Dave and Jeannie Kaufman are going to be sharing this morning. And we met Dave and Jeannie in, I think it was 1996. It was either 96 or 97. And I think somewhere right in there. And they had a pastor's conference down in Brookings. And we needed a conference to go to. And so we met them down there. And I would say 90% of the richest relationships in our ministry life, our church life, people that have spoken here over the years, we met at their conference. And they have hosted a conference. It costs $419. No, they actually do it for free. They host a conference for free. They feed us. It's for ministers and missionaries and people come in from all over the place and have done that. How many conferences have you done now? 56 conferences. 56 conferences. And I was just praying for you guys yesterday or the day before, and I just like, Lord, they've sown into so many lives. Just let there be such a harvest for you guys. And Dave and Jeannie did some of we've introduced them a few different times, and they get tired of hearing this, but they did our pre-marriage counseling, some of it, and so we're still married. Yeah, absolutely. And so Dave and Jeannie have been our pastors. When Marnie and I need a pastor, other than when Dwight was alive, absolutely poured into our lives, you know, but when we need a pastor, Dave and Jeannie have pastored us well. They've led us. They've taken us to the Word of God. They've taken us before the Lord, and we love serving with them and honoring them. And for the first time ever, they get to come and share at COC today. So welcome, Dave and Jeannie Kaufman. Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Kirk. Amen. Are you coming up? Well, yeah.
Well, I don't want to miss an opportunity to say how wonderful it is to be here with the pastors, with the leadership, and with each one of you. And there's such strength in this body. You are so strong in the Lord, and the presence of the Lord is so honored here and romanced. And I am getting those, what'd you call them, Pastor? Goosebumpies or tingle bumps? Tingle bumps can be fun. And I sure feel them here today. So we call you blessed. We're honored to come here. And we thank God that we can share an indelible word that will never fail. Isn't that wonderful news for each one of us? So we bless you from the tabernacle. And thank you for the open door in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jeannie. Praise God. It is a blessing to be here. And Pastor Kirk and Marnie, we've known them for so many years, and they've been a great blessing to us at the church. They've led worship there and taught there in conferences and so forth. So we've enjoyed great fellowship, a wonderful blessing. Same with Stephen and Trish. You guys have been there and blessing at conferences and stuff. So, and Pastor Dwight, we met when he was just stepping up, pioneering this church. And we'd meet in Watertown for lunch and visit and so forth, and talking about Christian Outreach Center. And so we had great fellowship with him as well through the years, and just been a real blessing. And through this church, many testimonies. You have a rich history. Hallelujah. So very thankful for all of that. And Pastor Jeannie and I are glad our church that we pioneered in 1981, we have a new lead pastor. And so we do traveling. We go around other churches and ministries to be an encouragement. Have done some missions work as well. And, well, we've done that for years anyway, I guess, so to many nations and stuff. So we're glad we can be here today. What a blessing to be here in Sisseton and see all of you. So we saw on the news, of course, we were in Rapid City for a citizenship ceremony at the Mount Rushmore area. Many people became U.S. citizens. We were out there, people from our church were becoming citizens, and that's when we saw about the flood. And Jeannie said on Facebook, did you see this? And I'm not on Facebook. She showed me that. Oh, you know, your heart just sinks. And to see the church in water and knowing that there's destruction and so forth. And so we prayed for you guys. And then we saw you on Kello TV. And just proud of you, proud of your testimony, proud of your proclamation for Jesus Christ, and that God is bigger than this, than that flood and so forth. And he is, and that's a great testimony, you know. And then prayed for you since then, because sometimes you get a lot of attention initially, and then there's the days after, and you're really working, and maybe nobody notices, and it's tough. Those are very, very difficult situations. But we've stood with you in prayer, and I just want to say, God, nothing takes God by surprise. The Bible says he's our Alpha and Omega. He's already been to your tomorrow. We're sitting here today, but he's already been to your tomorrow. Amen. And before you knew you had a problem, he already provided the answer. So you might even not even aware of a problem, but I just want to say he's the answer. He's already provided the answer for you. He's already on your side. He's already working by his Spirit. And of course, you're going to go to bed and sleep and so forth, but he never sleeps. So you might wake up at 3, he's awake, all right? You might wake up 4, he's awake. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He's always on your side. He's always there for you. He's as close as the mention of his name, just to say Jesus, to say it out loud, to say Jesus. There's something powerful in that name. There's life in that name. There's light in that name. You might feel heavy or down at times, and just say Jesus. Sometimes you don't even know what to pray. Just say Jesus. You know, God is there for us. Amen. And he's here for you, and he's here for this church and this ministry. There might be the old building was damaged and all that sort of thing. But you are, as Pastor Kirk was saying, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are his temple, and he dwells in us in praises. Hallelujah. So wherever we gather, wherever we gather in his name, he's always with us. He's always working. Amen. So I want to read some scriptures today, Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, says, I know the plans that I have for you. So God has good plans for you. He never plans for a bad day for you. You should understand that. He's not planning for a bad day. You might be in a day and it's bad. He didn't plan that. His plans for you are good. And that's what he says here. His plans are for peace. And notice what it says, not of evil. Another in the Amplified says, he didn't plan for a disaster. No, we don't serve a disastrous God. We serve a good God. Now, the world is fallen. People say, well, why do these things happen? Because the world is fallen. So from the time of Adam and Adam's sin and the devil working and so forth, we live in a fallen world. That's where those things come from, the other side, the dark side. But God is good, and he's always on our side in his plans, not for disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. In other words, you can sit here today, look beyond today, but feel hopeful that your future is good in Jesus Christ. Because all he's got directed at you are good things. He wants to bless you. He wants you to take care of you, wants you to be well physically, provide for your needs, but also that you'd be a light for him. The world, hey, God isn't killing people. He wants his people to be alive, right? So that more people are shining for him in this world. So you've got a future and a hope. Christian Outreach Center, one of the things I saw was that you're living his promises, advancing his kingdom. Just say, I'm advancing his kingdom. You're living in his word, and you'd be surprised, the power. Of course, the reputation of this church, but the power you have in Christ affecting this whole region. Yes. Wow. Because you bring hope, a future and a hope. Boy, the world needs hope, right? A lot of people are lost, and people try to fill their lives with all kinds of substitutes, you know. But there's only one real hope, and that's Jesus. There's only one that gives us a future. Think, okay, I can believe for a better tomorrow from today. Amen? So God has good plans, and something good is happening today. Even while we're sitting here, I always say this, you know, sometimes we don't see things right away. But while you're sitting here, your hair's growing. While you're sitting here, your hair's growing. If you sat here long enough, men would feel some whiskers probably, right? I mean, God is always moving. Things are happening right now, and they're happening for the good. Amen? Yeah. So we're going to the book of Genesis a second. Joseph's life gives us hope. Okay, so Joseph, we know, here he's a young guy at age 17. He gets visions and dreams, all these things that the Lord's going to do. And his brothers hated him, so his brothers sell him. Talk about a dysfunctional family, right? So his brothers sell him. They actually wanted to kill him, but they sell him instead. And so he's bought by the Ishmaelites. They go into Egypt, and Potiphar, a ruler, a military ruler, buys him to be a servant in his house. But Joseph still prospered in Potiphar's house. And later, he's betrayed in Potiphar's house, and he goes to prison. And while he's in prison, God blesses him in prison, even though he's did nothing wrong. God blesses him in prison, and then he interprets dreams for Pharaoh's servants, the butler and the baker, interprets the dreams, and the butler's released. Remarkable. And forgets Joseph for 2 years more in the jail. You can read it in Genesis. Forgets him for 2 years. And finally, when Pharaoh has his dreams about the seven fat cattle and the seven thin cattle and so forth, Pharaoh has his dreams, and the butler says, I remember there was a guy in prison who interpreted dreams. So in other words, now Joseph went all through all these calamities. Starts at 17 years old, and now he's 30 years old when he's brought from the prison to the palace and interprets the dreams for Pharaoh. 13 years have passed. 13 years just walking in faith and so forth, been through many trials and all that, but he kept hope alive. Interesting thing, Joseph then, during the time of his trials and all the things like that, had two children. And the first one he named Manasseh. And he named Manasseh because the Lord allowed him to forget all the trouble, all the circumstances, and so forth. The Lord allowed him to let it go so that he could move forward. And the second one that he named was Ephraim. And Ephraim means that God has called him to be fruitful. Not just fruitful. Ephraim, if you look in your Bible or look in a concordance, means doubly fruitful. So Joseph, out of a disastrous situation, God turned it around for his glory. Amen. What the enemy meant for evil, God brought good out of it. Amen. Out of a flood, God can bring great things. God's bringing restoration. I believe today is a day, not just a recovery, but a day of double blessing. I believe he wants to bless you double. Turn to your neighbor and say, he wants to bless you. Joseph's journey from hardship went from a journey of hardship to a journey of prosperity. And he was blessed beyond his wildest dreams. They had the seven good years. They had the seven bad years. But I want to say this. In the seven bad years, they actually made more money than they did in the seven good years. They prospered. God's blessing is not based on the economy. God's blessing is not based on how much money I have or how much wealth there is in the natural. It's blessed on him. He is Jehovah Jireh. You know, even years ago when we pioneered a church and we rented for a number of years where we set up equipment and so forth, but I was praying, just, you know, we didn't have any money. We didn't know how were we going to go forward. How could we ever get land? How could we get a facility or anything like that? And the Lord, I was looking, I was just saying, Lord, we don't have any money. And he said, why would you look at the people that you have? Put your eyes on me. God is a big God. He can bring resources from anywhere. He's not limited by you or I. He's limited by unbelief, but he's not limited in the natural. He's just got the supernatural. He's working in the supernatural. I believe the Christian Outreach Center is going to be doubly blessed. People could look at this church and say, wow, their building was destroyed and so forth. But the building of God is you. Amen. Just a physical thing maybe was destroyed. But listen, you're alive and well today. And I believe he can bring double blessing. Say double blessing. Just like Ephraim, he can turn that around for his glory. And what the devil will say to try to squash the light. No, the light bursts forth and shines brighter and brighter. And out of things that looks like, well, it's ruined. No. Recovery comes. Recovery comes to bring the blessing of God. In other words, God's going to do bigger things than you or I ever thought. He's not a God limited in the natural. He's in the supernatural. He's going to bring bigger things. He's going to do bigger things. Philippians says this in Philippians 3. He says, brothers, don't consider, I'll read it from here.
I don't count myself too apprehended. In other words, I haven't attained all that I should. But what I do is I'm going to forget those things which are behind, reach forward for those things which are ahead. Now, one of the things when it means forget, it just means let go. Say let go. Let go. Let go of your past. I can't go back to tomorrow. You can't go back to May when you were in your other facility. You know, in life, life has one gear, and that it's a gear of drive. If you drive a car, when you put it in D, when you put it in drive, what direction are you going?
Forward.
You're always going forward. In the gear shift of God, there is no reverse R. There's no reverse. There's no, let's back up here 3 weeks. No, there's no reverse. The gear you're in is driving. You're driving forward. And Paul says, I'm going to let go of the past. I'm going to let go of things that maybe held me down. Let's just understand this. Paul was the terrorist of his day. Paul was a person who was Saul of Tarsus and used to imprison saints, testified at their trials when they were put to death. He was a terrible man. He was a terrible man. Think about how many people Paul would meet as, you know, he gets saved. We think, oh, he's saved. Wow, look, he wrote a lot of the New Testament. Wonderful. He would meet people that would say, you helped kill my parents. You destroyed our Bible fellowship in our home. You killed my brother or my sister. He had to let go of that, though. I can't allow my past to determine my future. I have to realize my future is in Jesus Christ. And yes, hey, we've all made mistakes, right? We've all made mistakes. However, thank God for his blood. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God that we can keep moving forward in Jesus Christ. Just let go of the past. Maybe there's something that happened in your family that, oh, that just wasn't good. You got to let go of it so you can go forward. Sometimes people think they hold on to things. I met old people. Of course, I am old now, but I met older people. I met older people, and they're still bitter about something in the past, and that person's dead. They're not even alive anymore. And they're still holding on to something, what somebody did or said. And it's like, I'm thinking, are you kidding? They're not even here now. Take your hand, put it like this, you know, and then turn it over, then open it up, and you let it go. Paul says, I got to forget the past. He couldn't go in reverse and think, man, what a louse I was, the things I did. Couldn't go in reverse, but he could go forward. In your car, you get in your car, and you got a tiny rearview mirror, you know, that you can look back, but you got a great big windshield in front of you. And how do you drive your car? Well, you drive your car looking in the windshield, right? That's how we go forward in life. You kind of would be scared to see the guy going down the street in reverse like this. You think he's in a demolition derby, you know? He's in the wrong place. No, you drive your car looking forward in that big windshield. And you're looking out there, you can look side to side, but the only place you can look is forward. That's where you're going. That's where you're going. God's plans for Christian Outreach Center are good plans. They're prosperous plans. He wants to bless beyond what you or I can think. Remember Ephesians 3:20 says, he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now I can think pretty big. And God says, hey, I'm a lot bigger than your brain, Dave. Your brain is finite. Your brain has limited capacity, just so many gigabytes. But for him, no limits. There are no limits. And not just that he can do more, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. So I'm driving my car, and I want to look in the windshield, you know, and I can see in the past, okay, I just passed that mile marker or something or whatever. There's mile markers in life, but you're going to pass them, and now you're going forward. Amen. Isn't that right? At whatever age you are, maybe you have young children, you just want to bless those young children. That's where you're at. You know, or you're older and your kids are older. You want to bless your kids. Or you got grandchildren. We love grandchildren. You want to bless your grandchildren. But you have to live where you're at. And then you look forward to where you're going. We take our grandchildren. Now, we had two children, but our children always knew we were going to give them hugs. That's what we did. I can remember dropping them off at school. And it's like, okay, can you give me the hug now before I get out of the car or something like that, you know? It's like, okay, you know. And now our grandkids, the same way. They all know they're going to get hugs. We have five grandchildren. And two of our grandchildren have brown skin. And so they all know they're going to get hugs. And then they bring kids to our house, and some of them aren't Christians. Some of them are Muslim. And they all know, yeah, if you go to Papa and Nani's house, just get ready. You're going to get hugs. Everybody's going to get hugs. What are we doing? We're living where we're at today, and we're planting something in these kids' lives. What are we planting? We're planting love. We're planting faith. We're planting good things. People to realize how good God is. So we're ministering to them. You've got a big windshield in front of you. Don't look back. Look forward. Turn to your neighbor and say, look forward. I can't go back to yesterday. You know what I mean? I can only go forward in life. The same for you. Jeannie and I, we're getting older in life, but we can't go back to younger days. Amen? We tell everybody, if Jesus doesn't come back first, someday you'll have our funeral. We don't say that to be morbid. We say that, hey, appreciate life. Yeah. Amen? Many times we could have been dead. Could have been dead from cancer. When I was diagnosed with cancer, aggressive cancer, and the doctor, you know, they're pretty plain about that. You know, they don't mince words and say, I kind of have to tell you something. No, they just tell you right out. You got cancer. We got to see you right away. And they say, you got aggressive cancer. And so going through a process of all kinds of treatments. And you know what? You know what? We sat down. We get this terrible report. It's a terrible report. And I sat down in my house in the living room. And you know what the word of the Lord came to me? It's kind of crazy. The word of the Lord came to me and he says, make plans to have fun. And I thought, wow. In other words, he said, make plans to live. Don't make plans to die. Make plans to live. We were going to go to the Wisconsin Dells, and that was months off, and I thought, I knew I was going through a major surgery and all kinds of things, and rather than canceling everything, he said, no, make plans to go, and we did. So many people are thinking about the bad or the negative that they miss all the positive. Make plans to live. Make plans to enjoy life. Let me say, enjoy. Enjoy is a good word. So we did. I mean, now, times passed. I went through treatment. I went through radiation therapy, went through chemotherapy, all the things to try to stop cancer. And then as we prayed and witnessing to the doctors and so forth, and then no more cancer. And the cancer doctor in Sioux Falls for 10 years, he just says, you're a miracle. Yeah. I just saw him 2 weeks ago, and he comes into the office and he says, you're a walking miracle. And he said, you're my miracle man. He says, I tell all my patients about you to do, why does he tell them? He says, to give them hope. Yes. I was going through radiation therapy and I had 33 radiation treatments. Had to drive from Brookings to Sioux Falls each day. And then I would meet this doctor and once a week, and then they would sit down with you and say, now, how you doing? You know, about side effects and different things and how you feeling and so forth. And of course, I kind of knew where they're going, you know. I said, oh, you're wondering if I'm down. You're wondering if I'm depressed. And so, yeah, we're wondering. You're wondering if I want to give up. She, yeah. I said, nope. I said, I'm just happy in Jesus. And they kind of looked back, what? Yeah, I'm happy in Jesus. I'm happy about life. I'm happy about my future. And they said, you're not depressed? I said, no. See, a lot of people, patients, they start giving up. Well, okay, I guess I'm going to die. Guess this or that going to happen. Folks, you've got life. You've been given life. We live our life not based on a doctor's report, but on the report of the word of the Lord. And the report of the word of the Lord is higher than the doctor's report. And so we say, well, I just thank you, Jesus. When we finished the radiation treatments, Jeannie bought treats from the bread smith and brought things to nurses and people. And they thought, man, we're bringing blessings. You know, I'm excited about life. You know, folks, turn to your neighbor. You're not getting out of this alive. Unless Jesus comes back, you're not getting out of this life. You want to live your life to the fullest. This church is going forward, not going backward. There's not a reverse. It's going forward. This church is a blessed ministry. Say blessed. David's David was called as a young guy. He wasn't even invited to his own ordination ceremony, but he finally, Samuel said, don't you have another son? Well, we got this eighth one. He's out in the pasture, with the sheep. They brought him in. He's anointed with oil. But David ends up running for his life for years from Saul. And David had this habit of encouraging himself. And while he's away, he's anointed to be the king. He's called, chosen, and anointed to be king, but still not the manifestation. And so he's running for his life, and he's with 600 other men, and they come back to a place they lived in Ziklag. And the Ziklag was attacked and burned. Let's go to 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. Ziklag was attacked and burned and so forth. David's property was burned. Now he lost his property, all right? So he lost his property, lost his family. He lost everything in the natural. And it says that David, now this is pretty important to see. He's greatly distressed. He's not just distressed. He's greatly distressed, right? So, he's in a heap of trouble because why? Because now these people speak of stoning him. Let me just say this. It's interesting in life. If something happens, people kind of mourn, and then they want to blame somebody. It's always kind of that way. Give them a little bit of time. They want to blame somebody. It's your fault. You brought us here and this happened. Now the people are turning on David, the people that have supported him. And they're not just talking about, hey, let's get a new leader. No, they're talking about killing him. They're talking about killing David, stoning him. The soul of the people is grieved. And David, knowing this, notice what it says. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So now David lost his property. David's family's gone. But he encourages himself in the Lord his God. Pastor Kirk, I appreciate that about you and Marnie. You encourage yourself. You walk the walk. You live the life. Your connection is vertical like this. And you're not looking back, but you've got this steadfast relationship. You know where you're going. And you're leading this church in a way that's going to be very, very blessed. You're going to see some tremendous things happening. David encouraged himself. Encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Bible says this, that he did. Look at, he's greatly distressed. Look at verse 8. And it says, so David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue, shall I overtake him? And the Lord says, pursue, surely you'll overtake them and without fail. Now read this, in your Bible you should underline without fail. In other words, God will not fail you. God will not fail you. He's on your side. And without fail, you're going to recover all without fail. It's a promise. It's a promise. He's not going to fail you. Now listen, if I look at the circumstances of my life, I'm going to be shaken and quaking and so forth. But don't look at your circumstances. Look at Jesus. Amen. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and finisher of your faith. Don't look at anything else. I played a lot of college athletics, so I was a football player, quarterback for South Dakota State. I was a basketball player for South Dakota State. And you can get into a game in basketball, and you're shooting a free throw. And especially if you're at an opposing gym, behind the basket is all these people. And usually the people aren't sitting like this. You're in an opposing gym, and they're waving things, and they're shouting, and they're doing everything to distract you from making the shot. And you'll see people in games go up to the free throw line, and they dribble the ball, take a breath, and they shoot. Now, what are they doing? Where's their eyes? Their eyes aren't, what am I going to do? No, their eyes are on the rim. They're looking like that, taking a breath, shooting the ball, and in it goes. Focus on Jesus. Focus on his word. Be in the word. Stay in the word. The word will give you hope. Let's go to the next verses 18 and 19. So David is there. Now, the promise was, without fail, you'll recover all. But verses 18 and 19 says this, David recovered all, say all, everything that they carried away. Now, he still had his house was burned and all that, but he recovered all. He recovered this property. And notice verse 19, nothing of theirs was lacking. There was nothing lacking. So we had the promise, and now here's the manifestation. David recovered all, and nothing was lacking. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will not lack. You will not lack. You will have enough for every need, a full supply. God is greater than our circumstances, and our trust is in him. And Hebrews says, Hebrews 10:32, it says, they endured a great conflict of sufferings. They were ridiculed. People, after they became Christians here, they endured a great struggle with sufferings. They were ridiculed. They lost their property. They were in distress. They were put in jails and prisons and so forth. But verse 35 and 36 says, don't throw away your confidence, all right? So when all that happens, don't throw away your faith in Jesus Christ, because it has a promise of reward. Amen? And you have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you can receive the promise. Turn to your neighbor and say, be patient. See, it isn't like God is just boom, boom, boom. Okay, so it's going to happen just instantly all the time. No. We walk with faith and in patience. And in faith and patience, we inherit the promises. We begin to see things happen. Now, we've walked, our church was 44 years ago and so forth. But little by little, you know, remember a story about a rabbit and a turtle, you know, right? And the rabbit, of course, all the running forward. And we're like the turtles. We're just keep going forward. Forward. Keep stepping forward. Doesn't have to be long, but just keep stepping forward. Just make sure you go forward. Alignment, a running back goes through the line. He may get hit and tackled, but he usually falls forward. Righteous man may fall 7 times, but he gets up again, right? You keep falling forward. You're making progress. In your personal life, you're making progress. That's good. You keep moving forward. Think, oh, well, I think I stumbled here. Well, stumble forward, though. Okay, we learn from things. We're stumbling forward in the things of God. Progress. I love Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, now this isn't the good news. You can put it up there. But God will not forget the work you did. And listen, and the love you showed for him and the help you gave and are still giving for other Christians. You know, here you got an outreach here to the park. Oh, man. That's like gold. People say, well, it's just root beer floats. No, it's anointed root beer floats, okay? It's things that show the love of Jesus. It's things that communicate with love to other people. See, people, there are many gods. There are many religions. Now, we go to India where when you say there's one God and he's the Most High God, he's the only God who lies, well, they'll kill you because there's all kinds of gods to them. But listen, even here, you're saying, hey, we serve somebody who's alive. We serve somebody who hears your prayers. They go over to the prayer table. He hears your prayers. We serve somebody who's a miracle worker. Oh, boy. You know, I'll just quickly say, you know, we were rescued in a hotel fire, and some of these people that risked their lives to get us were Hindu men. And they looked at us, and they're talking to us later. Now we got soot on us and smoke up our nose and so forth. And this guy, and he'd been to the Hindu temple. And he had markings all across his head and so forth. And he said, we couldn't stand by and watch you die. We had to do something. And our testimony was for Jesus Christ. They knew we were holy people. Kind of amazing. We meet people all the time in places like that, and they'll come up to us, and they don't talk our language or anything like that, but they'll touch their head like this, and they'll bow down because they want a blessing. They're not even Christians, but they want a blessing. They recognize that God is amongst us. He's amongst you. Amen. You know, you have to tell yourself all the time, notify your face. It's good to know Jesus. Yes. People say, you know, I always say, don't look like you've been baptized in pickle juice. No. You know, sour and so forth. No, look like you love Jesus. Because folks are looking for the answers, and you have the answers. Proverbs says in Proverbs 6, hope is deferred. It's just deferred. This doesn't mean it's not happening. It just means maybe an answer is delayed. But when the desire comes, the desire is coming. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, something's happening. Something's happening right now. Something's happening right now. Isaiah 55 says the word won't return void. So something's happening right now. The word of God is working. God is working in our midst. God is working in your lives. God is working in this church. I believe it's a new season. I believe it's a great season. I believe this church is being blessed beyond what you can think. Amen? Instead of panic, you have peace. People look and say, what are they doing? Instead of panic, you have peace. Because why? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen? Instead of fear, you have faith. Because why? Because Jesus is the author of your faith. Amen? So all of a sudden, see, we walk not by our circumstances, but we walk according to the Word of God. Instead of failure, people go, oh, what are they going to do? Instead of failure, no, they see success. Because Jesus has already won the victory. He's won the victory for each of us. We all face things, but let me just tell you, you can face it with confidence in Him. You can be confident, like it says in Philippians 1, it says, be confident of the very thing. He that's begun a good work in you will perform it. You can be confident. You can have faith. You can have trust. It doesn't come down to how we feel, because Jesus is our stability. In fact, I think that was mentioned again before. It doesn't come down to feelings, but faith. The Word of God. If the Bible says He'll never leave me, He's with me. When we were trapped in a hotel fire, and closed the door, a room has smoke in it, all the things going on, and realizing we're trapped. You know, He was there. You know what we were singing, what I was singing prior, less than an hour prior to this? We're checking in this place. I'm singing the Corrie Ten Boom song, You Are My Hiding Place. And one of the part of it says, I'm in this lobby. I'm in this lobby, and I'm singing out loud, because nobody knows English. So I'm singing out loud, you always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I will trust in you. And I just said, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Little did I know, 45 minutes later, we're trapped with no way out. And He's there. Listen, today you might wonder, okay, what direction are we going to go? I'm just telling you, He's there. He'll give you direction. He'll show you what to do. He's your answer. You might have a doctor's visit. I'm just telling you, He already knows the things. He's your answer. When we're all done here today, when dismissed, if anybody needs prayer for something, it's really somebody with a shoulder, an ankle, and then somebody with some stomach issues. But if you need prayer for this, come up and we'll pray. He's our answer. He's on your side. Sometimes people think, I'm not good enough. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's all about how good He is. He's touching people. Some people aren't even Christians. You know, think about that. Jesus healed a lot of people that didn't even follow Him. He cares for us intensely. Let me just read a last verse in John 15. Jesus said this, remain in me and so forth. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, look at this here. My words abide in you. Say, ask what you desire. Whatever you desire. That's kind of a big check blank. What do you desire? And I'm not talking about fleshly things, but I'm talking about spiritual, looking forward. What do you desire? Ask. Ask. And then it says, it shall be done for you. And when that happens, our God is glorified. Now, I want you to ask big. Close your eyes for a minute. Just think about something. Just ask big. What do you have need of? And so forth. Ask. Ask. Believe God. Even now, He hears you. He brings the answer. Believe Him. Trust Him. Because He loves you. Just because He loves you. And He's honored when we bear fruit. And I believe you're going to be doubly fruitful. Whatever you desire, ask. Make your requests known in faith. Maybe you're praying for kids, or maybe you're praying for family, or maybe you're praying on a job, or maybe you're praying for financial resources to come forth. Just ask. This church is in a place of blessing. This church is in a place where recovery is happening to the fullest extent, where you're going to see great things ahead. I don't know where it all is going to land. I just know it's great. I just know it's good. I just know that His plans are good. I just know, I believe it's going to be expansion. I know you were at another place before, but I think it's going to be bigger. I think it's an expansion, not just for the same, but expanding for bigger things, for the glory of God. Why? Because the big kingdom of God is expanding. Because there's people's needs, and more people are going to come. Just for this church right now, just see people coming. Just see people coming through the door. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they look like. I just thank God. There's a hospital for sinners, and people come through the doors. And then you see yourself smiling and embracing them and welcoming them. See, we're all part of this. We're miles away, and yet we're still part of this because we're all part of the same body, the same church. And this is the will of God. This is the will of God that He wants to accomplish. He wants to do great things right here within this region. In Northeast South Dakota, wants to do great things. Jeannie, you said before you had a word on something.
I'm going to share that word, and then what came to me, you said the words "even there," and in Psalm 139, wherever your there is, even there, the Bible says that His presence is with you, and you can look that up. You can read Psalm 139, but even there, where you're at, the Lord is with you. I think it's verse 10. And so whatever you're there is, whatever the situation is. But the word that came to me prior to the message was the word abundance. And does your Bible say that you serve the God of abundance? You know, and there's such an abundance here. There's an abundance of whatever it is you need. If you lack in love, God is love. If you need a healing, has been mentioned, if you need a healing in your body, healing is greater than all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And His power and His word drives out all manner of sickness and disease, whatever it is. Maybe it's addictions. We both come from families that we had addictions and alcohol and drug abuse and immorality. But the love and the power of life in Jesus' greatness drives out addictions also. So there is an abundance. I want to agree with you today, Pastor Dave, that there's an abundance for whatever COC needs. There's an abundance of supply. And we always default to the Word of God. Let's default to God's Word, what God says, not our circumstances, not our situation, but to what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's glorified in this house, what He says. Amen. So that's why you want to read your Bibles. Find out whose you are and who you are. In Jesus' name, abundance. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Abundance. Just stay here a second. All right. So that's, we serve that kind of a God. Amen. Who just loves us. Just, you know, He loved me before I knew Him. Loved you before. So He loves everybody. We don't just become just good enough, you know, He loves us and we'll always need Him as we approach heaven. Hallelujah. So Pastor Kirk and Marnie, can you guys stand here a second and just face us? All right. And I just want to say, we've known them for a long time, but I just want to say they're steady. Now, everybody faces things, but they're steady. They're steady in faith, walking with the Lord, pointing people to Jesus. You know, whenever we've talked to them and they talk about the church here, they always talk like this about you. They talk high about how you love the Lord, serve the Lord, and so forth. Always an upper. That's a good thing. Amen. They have pastors' hearts. Now, I just feel like this is a pivotal time in a good way. And God is blessing you guys. As your hands are up, the rest of you, stretch out your hands a second, right? But Father, we thank You for Christian Outreach Center, this church that was birthed, Lord, by Your Spirit. And Lord, You are here. Hallelujah. And Your plans are huge. So I just pray even now, as Pastor Kirk and Marnie here, I thank You for giving them vision, from them to the leaders in the congregation, vision of what's ahead. I thank You for giving supernatural guidance, Father, in the name of Jesus, that as You speak to them and others, it'll be really clear the direction that they're going. I thank You, Father, for supernatural favor within this region with people, but with officials, with the city, with the county, with people, Lord. I thank you for supernatural favor, Lord, that there's just a hand open to them, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this favor, Lord. Thank you just for people coming to help, people coming to work with them, Father, in the name of Jesus, that would just, maybe they're not a part of this church, but they're just coming to work with them and to help and to partner even, Lord. They're not even aware, but to partner in your vision, Lord, your kingdom work, Lord. We thank you for this favor, Lord, just supernatural favor. And we thank you, Lord, it'll be clear to all the congregation even, Lord, of all the testimonies that you're doing. And Father, as you do these things, I thank you for protection, Lord. You continue to protect them. Angels round about them, I thank you for protecting them from anything the enemy may try to do. But no weapon formed against them shall prosper. We put that down in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your protection, Lord, your angels. And Lord, thank you for your financial provision. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You said that we shall see your provision. And Lord, many, many things that you've done that I've seen, I believe that even here, Lord, that they shall see your great, great provision in the name of Jesus. Financial provision, not just from people here, but people that hear about the Christian Outreach Center, people that hear about it in other states, people that maybe are alumni of this ministry, Lord, that they will begin to partner and again to stand with and support the church vision and ministry here, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. You are a God of abundance. Hallelujah. So we thank you for abundance. Lord, abundance of your presence, abundance of your spirit, abundance, Lord, of souls. Hallelujah. Abundance of resources, Lord, that there's more than enough. Lord, more than enough for every need, Lord, every need. We thank you for doing it, Lord, for your glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. We bless Pastor Kirk. We thank you for your anointing. Your anointing, Lord, flowing in him and through him. Blessing Marnie, Lord, your anointing, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. You have used them greatly. But Lord, what's ahead? We just thank you for the supernatural, Lord, as you equip them and prepare them, Lord, and flow through them, Lord. We thank you for this anointing. We thank you for this blessing, Father, in the name of Jesus.